The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, let us have a heart-to-heart about different points of view. I have a point of view, you have a point of view, and God has a point of view. That is a problem for those of us who want to see with God in the picture. We often paint it with him in the picture. Unfortunately, he's just a little speck, and that's a problem. Next, chosen, royal, holy, a special people for a purpose. God has called you and me for to pour out his favor upon us, and we're special to the Lord. Whether you think you're not, you are not, you are, you're special. Just look at the passages. But people who are blessed and highly favored in the Lord should have a proper response for their king, and we're going to look at that. And finally, pushing God is not pushing our luck. It's guaranteeing a tough divine response, and one that is not something we should be looking for. Instead of pushing back against God, we should be in consistent surrender mode. That's the way to melt our Father's heart.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more, Dave? Just a real lot, whole bunch more. Well, good answer. All right, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. People always say, why do you keep repeating the numbers? Why do you do that every show? There's new listeners. They got to know. That's how that goes. And then you can also call in 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. When you call in, guess what? Terrific T answers the phone. Now, how special is that when she answers the phone? That's like having your seat number called for a prize at a sporting event. That is pretty cool. Like that one? That's a good one, right?
That's great.
When you're in a seat, they're like, yeah, your seat, B5, section 34. Ah! Okay. Show me the money. There you get a t-shirt. Wait, what? Okay. So the bottom line is, it doesn't matter whether it's praise report, prayer requests, answering trivia, something you want to share the Lord's doing in your life, anything that's going on. The reason that we open that up is just to create that opportunity. We don't expect people to jump all over that. We just expect people to respond as the Lord's kind of like working with you. But the goal here is to encourage us, each one of us, myself included, as we get closer and closer and closer to the Lord, as we get closer and closer and closer to the day, to strengthen each one of us in him and in one another. That's our goal, keeping it easy. Here's the first trivia question for this 60-minute slot. Here we go. Let's see, you got to fill in the blanks on this one. Got to fill in the blanks. Ready? As it is written, blank, have I loved, but blank, have I hated. Ooh. God doesn't hate anybody. Here's what it says. As it is written, blank, have I loved, but blank, have I hated. Got to fill in those two blanks. If you think you know the answer, then you can call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. In the meantime, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie artichokey. So that you guys have that opportunity, let's see if you can get that in. I'm going to give it one more time and then get into the next element. Here's the trivia question. As it is written, blank have I loved, but blank have I hated. Again, our number, 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Or you can email in David at hemustincrease.org. We got a lot of things coming up. I got something I think kind of special for tomorrow. We are in the first 30 minutes going to go back to Matthew. We're going to do a relaunch on Psalms, just to let you know ahead of time so you can know what's going on. Plus, we have our Acts, expository on Acts, and a few other things that we be working on. All right, ready? Anything else? Do I need to cover? We good? Solid? Right? Okay. Numbers 22. This is numbers. So you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Old Testament known as the Torah. Okay? The law. The word. The law. Here we go. Numbers 22, so this is in the fourth book, 10 through 12. If you remember a little bit, there was a one time there where somebody was trying to get somebody to curse the people of God. So that was Balak was trying to get Balaam to curse the people of God. Here's what the text says. Balaam replied to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent this message to me. Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. I may be able to fight against them and drive them away." Then God said to Balaam, "You are not to go with them. You are not to curse this people, for they are blessed." Now, I just want to do this on purpose, so I don't want you to get sideways with me, but I'm going to do this on purpose. If I keep this whole thing in context and you go through the whole story, it's pretty straightforward. You know, the bad prophet was hired, Balak hired Balaam to curse the people of God. God said, that ain't going to happen. But there was something that the Lord said in here that I find to be amazing. And so we have somebody calling in. We're going to give them a chance to answer the trivia question. And then I'm going to respond to what I think is amazing in this text. Because right here, you have the difference between God's point of view, other people's point of view, and our point of view. But let's do the answer first, okay? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Nice to hear your voice.
Right. Good. All right. So this is a classic one because people are like, God never hates anybody. But then again, here's the passage. As it is written, blank have I loved, but blank have I hated. What are the fill-ins on those blanks?
I'm not real sure, but I think it's, is it Jacob and Esau?
That is correct. 100%.
Oh, great.
As I have written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so there's, which is a reference or a reference actually in the Old Testament and then brought forward in New Testament in Romans 9:13. But it does show one thing very specific, and there is in the mind and heart of God a distinction for people that he calls. You can say all you want about predestination and all you want about free will, but there's some people God goes, mine, 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 mine. And nothing's going to change that. So that's
all right.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, you and T have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Right. Okay. Hey, we just, you know, it's like a family or something. You know, all we need to do is really figure out how to get people to eat at the same time, like barbecue or pizza and stuff like that, that would just be, that'd be fun. All right, so now I haven't figured that out yet. I'm just saying that's great. Wouldn't that be fun? It'd be like ribs and things, barbecue. That's my favorite. Ribs and brisket. Do you like brisket?
I love everything you just said.
See that? I love everything you just said. Okay. All right. All right. So here's something I want you to catch. Now, we only got a little bit of time. I want to make sure you get this. So God tells Balaam, Balak, hiring you to curse, that's not going to happen. These people are blessed. Now, I want to say this because you have to understand. Balaam, he's a bad guy. He's a bad prophet, but it doesn't mean he's not a prophet. He's just a bad prophet. False prophet doesn't mean no prophets, no abilities, but restricted for sure and not always a truth teller, right? But then here's what I find amazing. Israel didn't consider themselves blessed, but God considered them blessed. Look what God says. You are not to go with them. You are not to curse this people, for they are blessed. Now, there's a lot of argument you can make if you were one of the people in Israel going, we are? We are? Things are a little tough here. I mean, it'd been a whole other thing if we'd have had a sand buggy that got us through the desert, but that is not the case. But you see, God has a perspective that is different than yours and mine because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to turn out, and he knows what's going to result because of what he has allowed. So it's always important for us to defer to God's POV, point of view, because his point of view is perfect, having in it all knowledge that there is. So he knows whether it will be a blessing or not. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done, and this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props for writing
Thank
The True
you.
Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
So, no, that's good. That's
good. Because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing The True Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Regnery, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings. And you see his declaration of divinity and why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do, and in a roughly chronological form, the ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospel and the Bible for themselves.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Love that interview with David Lima. Here's something that I'm going to say I've got to be really careful. But let's just say, and he would tell you this, his second interview with me was much better than his first interview. Listen, this is something that people don't like to hear or don't like to admit. You know, we've done over 500 shows, right? Not every show has been, oh, that's the best show. You can't have that because then there is no best show. It doesn't. I've done like over 2,000 radio shows. I cannot say, oh, they're all the best. Uh-huh. Okay, sure. Let's go. I just find that funny because, you know, of course, I kept the one that was good. So I'm not, you know, foolish. All right. Here you go. Here's the second one. I can't decide whether I should do the trick one or not. I'll do that after this. All right. What is the name of the woman who hid the two Israelite spies on the roof of her house? What is the name of the woman who hid the two Israelite spies on the roof of her house? Back then, their houses, the roofs were flat, and they were actually often used as secondary places for people to go, and not quite bedrooms, but more living room kind of attitude. A lot of people might not be aware of that. If you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. What point are we at? We had the second segment already? Guess what I have in my hand here? Guess, take a wild guess. Go ahead, guess. What do you think this is?
It must be a joke.
That's right, it's a joke. Guess you know me a little bit. All right, so there's two of these, okay? And so we're going to take our caller first, and then I'm going to tell. I might only tell one, because as I'm looking at the second one, it's not that funny. So I'd rather it be funny, but it is amusing. See, I guess it depends on whether you think a joke has to be funny or amusing. I guess I can't figure that out. Okay, let's see. I'm going to ask T what we're going to do. We're going to take the caller? All right, no? No, okay. All right, so I got two of these. One of these is funnier, and then one of these is cute. Which one do you want me to do first, the cute and then the funny, or the funny and then the cute?
Cute and then the funny.
Okay. All right. Here you go. A minister waited in line to have his car filled with gas just before the long holiday weekend. The attendant worked quickly, but there were many cars ahead of him in front of him at the service station. Finally, the attendant motioned him towards the vacant pump. "Preacher," the young man said, "I'm sorry about the delay. It seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." The minister chuckled. "I know what you mean. It's the same in my business." That's not bad, right? It's cute, right? But you'd give it a cute, right? Now, this one I think is funny. Might not qualify as funny, but funnier might be the key. An old-time pastor. I don't want to hear about the theology on this. It's a joke. And for those that don't like the jokes, then turn the show off. An old-time pastor was galloping down the road, rushing to get to church on time. Suddenly, his horse stumbled and pitched him to the ground. In the dirt with a broken leg, the pastor called out, "All ye saints in heaven, help me get up on my horse." Then with superhuman effort, he leaped onto the horse's back and fell off the other side. Once again on the ground, he called to heaven and he goes, "All right now, this time just half of you." That's a good one.
That was funny.
That was funny. No expenses spared on this show. No expenses spent, but no expenses spared. Think of that. All right, here we go. I think we've covered everything else. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says the following. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Many people know this particular text. So we do have somebody calling in for the trivia question. We'll give them a chance. But I want to talk to you about this text because this is the, you know, highly favored and blessed text would really come from this as well. Do we have somebody who wants to answer the trivia? Let's do that real quick. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Troy.
Hi, Troy. Do me a favor. Turn your radio down. You got it?
I got it down.
Okay, good job, Troy. Thanks, brother.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Listen, this may help somebody else.
All right.
It's not helping me, Manny.
Right. What's the name of the woman who had two Israelites?
This particular woman, she was sheltering them two guys.
Yep. What was her name?
And they said, well, when we take over the city, we'll spare you and your family. And she said she'll hang
a cord?
Violent handkerchief or something out the window. And she let them down on a rope.
Yep. Do you remember her name?
Well, what I'm trying to say, I'm trying to help somebody else out on this, so I'll let you go.
No, you got it, brother. You can do it. It's all you.
I can't think of her name.
Okay, let me help you. Let me help you real quickly, all right?
All right.
Now, the last, so it's a two-syllable name, okay? And the says, so the first syllable is Ray. And what would be the other part of her name? And it rhymes with gap, or gab. Ray Gab. What's close to that?
I'm going to pass on it.
All right, okay, you got it. It's Rahab. It's Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Right, and actually one of the reasons that if you really get into commentary, it's really fascinating that they think that the spies went to her is because the harlots or the prostitutes would usually have inside information about how cities operate.
Well, I didn't want to say that part.
That's true. It's true. You can't change history just because people are, like, smiling about it. All right, good job,
well,
Troy.
That's when they was destroying that city.
Yep.
And they're going to spare her and her family for her helping them, you know, get away.
That's right. Excellent job, brother. You did great and never hesitate to call in.
Hey, do me a favor.
Sure.
I know two preachers that's been gone a long time. And after you get off the air, would you call me this evening?
Yeah, sure.
I want to ask you about them two preachers, see if you remember them.
You got it. I'd be glad to.
You got my number?
Yep, I sure do.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
You got it. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's us right here, right? Okay. All right, I want to finish up because I got about a couple minutes on this. So, ever heard the expression, how you doing, favored and highly blessed, or blessed and highly favored. Actually, I think it goes busy. How do you normally say it? What do you say?
Say blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored. And you, in fact, as the people of God, you are blessed and highly favored. There should be never any reservation for you to say that, okay? Ever. That people say, well, are you trying to tell me that some people are more favored than other people? Yes. You're looking for a theological answer? Yes. Okay? I think you're more blessed than the Pharisees, more favored than the Pharisees. Why? Because they're not going in. That's why. Okay? So, I mean, it's not complex, right? So here in this passage, I love this passage, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. So there's like four descripts, okay? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. You're chosen, you're a priesthood, you're a nation, you're a people for him. God has put his seal of his ownership on your life. Now, that is just by itself. That's fantastic. Okay? But people usually stop. It's like, well, bah, 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 bah. No stopping. For you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may, see, this is the important part, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You can be all these fantastic things, but there's a purpose behind it, a reason for it. And I think it's to be blessed and highly favored. Oh, my goodness. You should just be, oh, I'm so appreciative. I'm so thankful. Okay, then tell God that. Okay, that's the only thing. I'm not taking that from anybody. I'm simply telling you, if you believe that you are blessed and highly favored, if you believe you're part of the chosen, if you believe you're part of the priesthood, if you believe you're part of the holy nation, by the way, holy is, you always hear the word holy and people go, ooh, holy. Holy means separated. That's all that means is God separated you for him because he loves you. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's a holy nation, a people for his possession. I mean, these are all really saying the same thing. We just don't realize that. And it's like the people that he's got his stamp of ownership. Oh, that's fantastic. So that you will proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're all those things and you are all those things and more, be a praiseful person. Be a thankful person. I just have a real disagreement with people who are like, well, you don't thank God for everything. So what that person's actually doing is arguing against thanking God. I just don't see it. If somebody has faith that a situation's going to turn, they can praise God in the middle, in the beginning, at the end, before it happens, after it happens, and all the time through. That's faith, I thought. Believing that God has our best interests in mind. So being thankful, even if we don't get it all. Get it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible. And it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. Do you understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Was that early? Am I wrong? It was like a minute early, wasn't it? Okay. I was like writing something. I'm like, wait, no, wait, it's on. Oh, we're on. Hello. All right, that's fine. Here we go. Get ready. I'm going to challenge you. Get ready. Trick question. Well, not a trick question if you know the answer, I suppose. Here you go. Ready? Bible trivia. Think this through. I want you to consider it. Think about it, and you might have to look it up. You need to check this out. How many times did the children of Israel march around the city of Jericho? Now, hold on. Total times. How many times did the children of Israel march around the city of Jericho? That's going to be your trivia question. If you know the answer, you can text 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. If you are kind of iffy, okay, which is fair. I mean, that's because this is not exactly the easiest question, believe it or not. Then you should double check in Joshua chapter 6, because that is where it's going to be, the information is going to be located. Okay? That's going to be Joshua chapter, I think it's Joshua chapter 6, isn't it? Yeah, Joshua chapter 6. Okay. Okay? Now keep in mind, there's a little bit of a caveat in this answer. So some of you are going to say, well, it's this, and it's like, double check, make sure, just want to make sure. That's my nice way of telling people that I know, double check that. Okay? Okay. What do we got? We got, let's do the website real fast, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. All right. Good job, Eric. That's what I was saying. We got our history. We were early, right? I mean, it wasn't me, right? We were like off just like by a minute, right? Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't lose my mind. My brain was like, wait, where are we?
Yeah, kind of like a minute, 30 second-ish.
Yeah, okay. All right. People are like, what are you guys talking about? Doesn't matter. Does it matter? No. We need to know. Okay, because, you know, at some point they go, you know, get off the air, Dave. Okay, they do that. All right, let's do history real quick. It's a short history today, so let's go ahead and fire away.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, that's not us encouraging you to live in the past, unless you're, of course, thinking about something great that the Lord's done. This is just our humorous way of saying we're looking at things that took place in history. That's all that is. Remember that. Take a deep breath. Relax. Today is Look-Alike Day. Have you ever met somebody that looks like somebody else? Or there's kind of like the, I don't know if you ever saw the Friends episode where they have the doppelganger thing, and it's like somebody that looks like somebody. My dad, I don't talk about my dad very often, but I will tell you this one thing, that back in 73 or 74, somebody sent him a picture of a guy in London, and the guy looked exactly like my dad. Like, exact. It's like, wow. If you had a twin, there it'd be. Today is also Volunteer Recognition Day, and I just want to say something about this. At your church, just so you can know, you have people that volunteer, that give of their time. They don't get a lot of props or rewards, and I'm just going to encourage you. I did it last year. I'll do it again. Every once in a while, it would be super-duper fantastic if people would just tell those people who are volunteering, thank you. Okay, like the people that do, if you go to a larger church and you know you have those guys that and gals that do the parking, tell them thank you. If you have somebody serving in some capacity, tell them thank you, just because it's an extra blessing for them, and that's a good thing to do. Today, this is where it gets more to my attention. It's National Pineapple Upside Down Cake, which that's fine. I mean, I'm good with that, all right? But better than that, it's National Cheddar Fries Day. Okay, I think that's got to be the winner out of that, right?
That's the winner.
That's the winner out of that. Somebody calling in. Okay. Last two things, and then we'll get to it. 1926 on this day, sound is added to film for the first time. And in 1912, Fenway Park in Boston and Tiger Stadium, which I have been at many times, both opened for the first time on this day in 1912. Well, they no longer have the old Tiger Stadium, but I went to the old one. Thank you. The old one, okay? The old one, when Al Kaline was playing, all right? There you go. And Storm and Norman Cash and, you know, those people. Okay. All right. We ready? We done? Anything else? We got to cover anything else? No? Okay. We got our trivia question. Kind of a sneak question for those that aren't catching this. A little bit trick in that. How many times did the children of Israel march around the city of Jericho? If you are guessing off the top of your head, that's okay. And otherwise, it's Joshua chapter 6. And here we go with our next teaching. Okay? Okay. Done? Done. Remind me to share the trivia if somebody doesn't call in. Joshua chapter, I'm sorry, Judges. Everyone had a J. Judges chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. Say this. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. The sons of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you. Only please deliver us this day. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And he could bear the misery of Israel no longer. It's amazing how a passage like this is actually a passage that shows the compassion of God. So being frustrated with the children of Israel, this is post-Moses, it's post-Joshua, it's in the time of Judges. Being frustrated with them, the Lord cried out through his prophets, we go and cry to the gods that you've chosen over me. Let them be your big helpers in your big distress. Because what happens is sometimes when people of a particular nation get more and more distance, then the faithfulness and the faith kind of weans out a little bit, which seems to have happened a great deal in our country as well. But he's like, God's like, go and cry out to the gods which you've chosen. Let them deliver you. Let them take care of you. And then the sons of Israel were like, okay, wait, no. We've taken advantage of you. We've pushed. We kind of did what was wrong. Do whatever you want to do. Just please deliver us this day. My only objection to this approach, I mean, it's not an objection because it's in Scripture, but my only comment to this is the oftentimes the bargaining with God scenario. Oh, God, just deliver me this one time, and then I will forever blah, blah, blah. And as we know, just from the biblical history, that after they did this, they blew it again and blew it again and blew it again. My point in bringing that up is that a lot of us will do that special circumstance whine. Oh, just deliver me from this mess and everything will be great and I'll be such a good guy. I'll do everything right that you say, Lord. What's amazing is that God, in his compassion and his mercy, puts up with this. Verse 16, they put away their foreign gods from among them, which is good. At least they took an action to say, we're really serious about it this time. We're really going to try. We're really going to do better. And it says, the Bible says, he could bear the misery of Israel no longer. He hated that they were uncomfortable. He hated that they were being oppressed. He hated that they were at a disadvantage. God hates that. I don't know why anybody would think any different. God is just like, it's just, I hate this. And so pushing God, it's like it never goes well. And when you get to that sin point, you do got to confess. But what really has to happen after that confession is a sincere submission. I mean, a real one. You can't bargain with the Lord. Okay, Abraham was able to, but Abraham is Abraham and you're not Abraham. So that's my response to that. They did get to that yield point. Your will be done. You know, I mean, whatever you want, do whatever seems is right to you. When it says, please deliver us this day, that's a cry for mercy. And they did take real action. So I do want to, I should commend them, but I'm also at the same time warning us, not just you, me too, that bargaining with God is not the right play. You really got to be serious about this stuff. And then we have to put away these foreign gods. You think, well, what's a foreign god? Well, the fact of the matter is that anything comes between you and God is your God, period. If you're standing at 3 and God is standing at 5 and you have something standing at 4, that is your God. It's just, there's no way around it. And God won't have that, not even from the least to the greatest. Abraham required to yield his only son, the son of promise, hinging on the very promises of God, had to forfeit the promises of God in a time of testing and trust. And sometimes we have to literally take the very promise of God, lay it at his feet, and go, okie doke, I'm going to believe that you're going to fulfill it, even though I don't know how you're going to do it. That's the key. Because we always think we know how God's going to do it. We think that we understand. It's like, no, we don't. And there comes a point in God's economy where he's like, okay, I can't take this, you know. And say he could bear the misery of Israel no longer. All right, that's enough. That's such a compassionate father. You think that this is judging. You would go serve them. No, we're really sorry. Okay. I mean, God is holy, but in another sense, as our father, in a grace sense. So nobody write me an email about this. In a grace sense, he's a softie too. Kind of nice. All right. Trivia. Good idea. We should probably answer that trivia, right? Okay. Okay, this was a trick question. A little bit, folks. How many times did the children of Israel march around the city of Jericho? The actual answer is 13, because it was once for 6 days each, and then on the seventh day, it was seven times. So the seventh day was seven times. And the first 6 days was once each. So the actual total was 13. Check it out in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. A little sneaky on my part, but, you know, that's how we roll. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them,
Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I just accidentally closed all of my windows on my computer because I am brilliant. Okay. I got them open now. All right, here's our last trivia question for the day. Boy, that one was a really good one. The one with the how many times the children lose. That's a good one. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. This should be a little, I don't want to say easier, but it should be a little more direct. But you got to listen to how I'm saying the question, because that becomes a big issue for some people. To whom was the following spoken? Okay, to whom was this spoken? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, not who spoke it, but to whom was it spoken? Okay? All right. Yowza, yowza. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I didn't say that was going to be an easy one. I just told you what we were going to do, and I gave it to you, and you can figure it out. And if you don't know, I will be glad to tell you in just a little bit. In the meantime, let's do a Hebrew, as in Hebrew word.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Venezuela.
All right, here we go. It is the Hebrew word for safety, betach, betach. Okay, you got to do that roll, though. See?
Betach.
Yeah. Okay, let's make it more like betach. There you go.
Betach.
Right. That's the Hebrew word for safety, and the verse that it comes out of is of Benjamin. This is in Deuteronomy 33:12. Of Benjamin, he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him." It means securely, in safety, confidently, in peace, trustingly. The state of confidence, security, the safety that belongs to those who trust and rely upon the Lord. Betach occurs more than 40 times in the Old Testament and is most often translated in safety, securely, confidently, and occasionally it's translated boldly. There you go. That is like a top-level education right there. There you go. There you go. And all that for free. Wow. What a price. Okay. All right. Anything else we got to cover? Anything else? Okay. All right. Trivia question. And I remember, I'm not saying who said this. I'm saying who did this person say this to. Okay. People are getting it right. Guessing and doing good. Guessing and doing good. Okay. To whom was the following spoken? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. For those that are looking for an answer, it would be found in Acts chapter 3. There's your only hint that you'll get from me. Oh, somebody is calling. So we'll get the call and respond to that. And then see if they can get that, nail that down, see if we can kind of work that together. Okay. Boy, that was a betach. That was a good one. That was a safety. Betach. Betach. It's very Klingon-ish-y, if you ask me. All right, we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good. Did you like that response on the Fitbit?
Yes, I did. I'm driving, so I can't reply back to you. So okay. Let me just tell you, Fitbits weren't invented. It was an Apple Watch back then.
How many steps did they actually take? That was a great question.
All right, my good friend. Here we go. Pretty solid, straightforward. To whom were the following words spoken? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
I believe that there wasn't a name in the Bible, but they called him a certain lame man.
Correct. That is exactly right. It's not a specific name. The lame beggar. And just for icing on the cake, who said that to him?
Was that Peter?
Yes, that is correct. Woohoo! 2 for 2. Slam dunk.
Peter and Paul always mixed up.
Yeah, so I know.
50-50 chance.
You got to watch the eater. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent work.
All right. Well, we're praying for you and Easton always.
I appreciate it, brother.
Care.
All right. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Good job. Sorry. So you just asked me a question. We were talking about the how many times they walked around the walls of Jericho, and he said, how many steps? like they had a Fitbit. Who knows? All right, let me finish off with this. You might as well smile. Luke 16:13-15. No household slave can be the slave of two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves to both God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and scoffing at him. Verse 15, he told them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your heart. For what is highly admired by people is revolting in God's sight. Boy, you couldn't pick a worse verse to pick up and go, there's a difference between God and the world, could you? It's almost impossible. First of all, Jesus is talking about being enslaved to a life of finances or being enslaved to God. And when we're talking about enslavement in this capacity, it's a willing slave. You're going to make a choice, you know, where you're going to serve. Where are you going to? Remember Bob Dylan's song? You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. In this capacity, is like you can't serve God and serve money. You have to choose. Now, what's amazing is the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were like, they were like, eh, what do you know? You're just poor Jewish guy, rabbi. Nobody cares what you have to say. They were scoffing at him. Now, there's not a lot of places in this world that worship money as much as America, but boy, because boy, we are much more geared that way. Let's just be honest. Most people live for a paycheck or live to pay rent. So, I mean, you can't deny that. That's impossible to deny. But Jesus says something even more amazing. He takes it to the next level, as he always does when he teaches. He says, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your heart. Let me say two things real quickly. One, people who justify themselves in front of other people are looking to have their justification nursed. They're looking to have their justification justified. They're looking to have somebody give them a stroke on the face and saying, you're right, man, you're right. Just keep going. That's right. That's right. Okay. First of all, that's ridiculous. Second, it says, but God knows your heart. Most people who are innocent will say to some degree, God knows my heart. But it's ironic that Jesus uses that in talking about those who are guilty. God knows your heart. He knows what's going on. It's funny because we'll always, oh, God knows my heart. I'm innocent. But it's like when Jesus used it, it was like, you're guilty. The other part about this is this last statement, which separates us from all the animals, for what is highly admired by people is revolting in God's sight. What people think is important is revolting to God.
The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There is a difference, and we talked about this about point of view earlier on in the very first segment. There's a difference between how God looks at something having all knowledge and how man looks at something having arrogant knowledge. And the problem there is Jesus is not – he doesn't – people are like, well, he was really soft. Listen, these guys were scoffing at making God a priority over money, and they were justifying themselves in front of people, and Jesus was not impressed and laid them out. This would be a KO in one punch. You're the ones who justify yourself in the sight of others. A, God knows your heart. B, what's highly admired by people is revolting in God's sight. See, done. And he wasn't pulling punches. He wasn't being nice. Oh, Jesus, peace and love, and everybody, you know, tie-dye shirts. And it's like, that's not anywhere in here. What's in here is Jesus laying it out. You can't serve money more than you serve God. That's number one. Number two, you can't be justifying yourselves in the sight of other people before you're being right before God. Number three, God knows your heart, especially when it's guilty. Hello. And number four, what's highly admired amongst society, God is not impressed by. Well, society, who cares? Does society have an eternal life to give you? Well, then that's your answer. The answer always comes down to, well, who's going to help you live forever? None of those people will. None of those media people or politicians. In fact, no person, no preacher. Only God has the forever key. And that key is in the shape of Jesus Christ. Bam. Got that? Okay. So we only got 25 seconds. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Draw closer to the Lord, and these things that we go through in Scripture will become just that much deeper and much more profound of a blessing for you. Because it's wonderful to know God's not impressed but by what the world's impressed by. But he does love it when his kids pursue him. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.